Hey guys, hope everybody's doing good. Just to timestamp this, this is Monday night, March 30th. I'm at home recording this, so a little bit different, something I've never done before, so y'all bear with me. It may be awkward, I don't know. I'm going to do my best to bring this tonight. Miss all you guys. I miss worshiping with everybody. Miss being in the house with everybody. I hope you all feel the same. For our victory folks or whoever may be listening to this, I hope that you're hungry for a house. I hope this makes you hungry for God's word and God's people and worshiping as a corporate body. I hope that whether you're with Victory or whatever church you may attend or don't attend, I pray that God uses this to really to stoke that. So miss all you guys. Miss you guys at the Blake House. Don't know if you guys get to listen to this stuff. I hope you do. We miss you guys. Miss seeing you guys on Wednesday night. We haven't forgot about you, and we love you guys as well, and keeping you guys in our prayers. So. Cammie's at work tonight. Y'all continue to pray for our all of our healthcare workers. These people are amazing. What they're doing right now is just amazing, and we need to remember them. Not just Cammie, but all of them, other people in the house and everywhere else that's just works in that field. Y'all just remember her. She's doing night shifts now, so it's a lot different, but she's filling the needs where the needs are at, and so many people are going above and beyond in this situation with the whole COVID-19 going on. We need to remember them, and of course people who are being affected by it. So of course there's so many people whose jobs, you know, make this the whole thing work. So just remember everybody in this situation. A lot of people in some tough situations right now. You guys try to keep up with what's going on in the house. I know Alec and Ashley just had their baby, a little boy. I think it was last, maybe Friday. I saw a picture of him today. Awesome little guy. So we're excited for you guys. Just so awesome. So many things going on in the house. It's hard to keep up with things when we don't see each other, but y'all try to stay plugged in. But all that being said, I'd like to say it's just an honor to be asked. Sid asked me and Ariel asked me if we could, myself and Nick and I think Marty and some people to record some stuff, just to put some stuff out there so that we can all kind of stay on the same page and engaged on some different levels and just throw some thoughts out there. So this is not necessarily life-changing tonight, but maybe it is. I pray that God speaks to you through this, but it's an honor, and I appreciate being asked, and I don't take it lightly that I was asked to record something. Kind of a unique situation that we're in. I wonder if this is similar to what, in a different way, but similar in ways to what the early church would have been. They weren't connected like we are with automobiles, and it wasn't so easy to come together the way that we do now. So I think there was a certain time where the early church, they were separated in families and small groups and things like that. But then they would, you know, have to communicate by letter, or right now it's like a podcast. So there was so much of a personal devotion and personal worship, and this is going to allow us to kind of get driven back to that. So hope you're using your time wisely. Hope you're using your time like Brother Sid has been preached on and spoke on in his last podcast about preparing that fatty calf, or if you have that fatty calf, sharing that fatty calf, preparing what God wants you to do and what's welling up in you and how you can help others and just really examining that. So I pray that that's going on in your life right now. Cammie and I have talked several times. I know all of you have. I'm sure feel the same way. I really feel that out of all of this quarantine stuff, out of all of this trials that we're going through, really as the world, not just as a country, the whole world's going through this crazy situation right now. I feel like on the backside of this, we're going to have a new appreciation for so much stuff. We're going to have new appreciation for, you know, being able to, you know, shake hands and hug one another. We're going to have new appreciation for just the little things in life. And I pray that we have a new appreciation, like I said before, a new fire to be in the house and to worship and things like that. And I pray that we have a new focus coming out of this, because if there's ever been a world alignment focus thing going on, it's right now. So all that being said, I just wanted to kind of chit-chat for a second, and let's dive in tonight, or whenever you're listening to this. I want to dive in on something I feel like God wanted to for me to explore, and generally if he's wanting me to explore it and I'm supposed to record something or speak, then that's what I'm going to give to you guys as well. I really have heard a lot between some of the different speakers that I've listened to, and Sid's mentioned it, and Stephen Furtick had mentioned it a few Sundays ago, some of the stories of crossing the Jordan, when Joshua crossed the Jordan. God really brought to my mind the comparison between the two different big water crossings that you see in God's Word. The first time we see water being held back and dry land being created for people to go through, for God's people to go through, was obviously Moses to children of Israel in Exodus. And that scripture is found in Exodus 13:17 through 14:31. That's kind of the bulk of the Red Sea crossing. It's an amazing story, and most of you are super familiar with it. If you're not, it's kind of a cornerstone of our faith, a cornerstone of what happens in the Old Testament. It's a huge, massive story. It can be preached on for a year and not even scratch the surface of the different avenues that God could teach us who he is and who we are and our value. And there's just so much in there. God had me looking at it as a comparison between the two. And then over in Joshua is when you would find the crossing the Jordan River. Again, water is removed from the situation. There's dry land, and God's people are allowed to cross over. So I want to compare those two things, and I want you to compare those things in your life as we dig into this, and I pray it speaks to you. Just real quick, I want to jump into Exodus and just hit some highlights of what happens in that Exodus crossing of the Red Sea. You know, in this situation, we've got the children of Israel have just literally left Egypt. Pharaoh has finally said, you can go. He's had all the plagues. He's tired of it. He's ready for the children of Israel to leave. So Moses is there and says, all right, we're going to go. And Moses leads the children out of bondage. And of course, they come up against the Red Sea. If you start in verse 17, chapter 13, verse 17, it says that when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So if they face war, if they face more adversity than what they've already been in, because they've been in a very difficult situation, they've been in bondage for, the people have been in bondage for 400 years. These people were born into bondage. That's all they've ever known. So God sees where they're at. God sees their brokenness. God sees their pain. God sees the difficulties that they have been through. And he says, at this point, these people are not ready for war. These people are not ready to face an enemy. If they see an enemy, then they're just going to flee. They're not ready. They're not prepared. That's not what they need to be doing right now. So basically, they're in a retreat or an escape mode. They're retreating from a situation. They're finding protection. They're escaping Israel. I'm sorry, they're escaping Egypt, going to Israel. But that's kind of what's going on. So as you read through this, know that this crossing, they're crossing in a place of escape. God really showed me that they were escaping. This is a place of escape. This is a place of, you know, getting out of Dodge, if you know what I mean. If you continue on, we see as you read through this, and it's a pretty good chunk of scripture. I won't read it all to you, but we find out that God shows up as fire by night and a cloud by day. That's God's presence. You'll see God's presence throughout all the scriptures everywhere. He's there. He's there. He's there in your life as well. One of the funniest, so they're moving along here, and of course God says, you know, I don't want them to face an enemy. They come up against the Red Sea, and here it is. Pharaoh's heart has been hardened. He's decided to come and say, never mind, I'm going to come get the children of Israel, taking them back. So they see Israel is the nation is watching the Egyptians come back to attack them. They're seeing them move in, and they're seeing them come, and they realize, oh, they're coming to kill us. They've changed their mind. And, of course, fear strikes them. To me, one of the funniest statements in the Bible, it is a very serious situation, just the way it's written, the way it comes across. In chapter 14, verse 11, they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? And to me, that's just how many times have I complained and just God's taking me somewhere. God's trying to do something with me, and I get mad at God because I incorrectly think that I'm going to have to do something that He's going to do. I make myself more important in a certain situation than what I really am in that particular situation. I'm thinking, oh, great, here I'm going to have to fight these people. And that's not God's intention. If you read in verse 14, Moses says, the Lord will fight for you. And then he adds, you need only to be still. So those times in our life where we're just moaning and groaning and we're upset at God, why are you doing this to us, God? Why is this going on? And sometimes it's because it's so much about perspective, but it's so much because we think we're going to have to do something that God is actually going to do for us. So we're taking this mantle on that we weren't supposed to take on. We're putting this yoke on us that we weren't intended to carry. When we do that, yes, that's going to seem overwhelming to us. But you just see in verse 14, no, the Lord will fight. The Lord will fight this battle. And that is what we have to remember. When God has us in this place of retreat, this place of escape, when we're getting out of a situation, when we've been battered and we've been bruised, and there's you need a retreat, you need space. God's going to take care of you in that. God's not expecting you necessarily to do all these things. He's going to fight for you. It's funny too. You continue on in verse 15. Then the Lord. Now Moses just said, "You only need to be still." That was his interpretation. You only need to be still. He was correct, and the Lord will fight for you. But then he adds on himself, "You only need to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses in verse 15, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." So Moses said, be still. But God said, no, not right now. Don't be still right now. Yes, I'm going to fight for you. But that doesn't mean that you don't still need to do something. God asked Moses why he is crying out to him. He tells the people to move. See, here's the thing. Moses wanted God to finish them right there. Moses wanted God to just destroy the army right there. But God doesn't always act the way we want Him to act, and usually He doesn't act anything like what we want Him to act, because He's God and we're just people. God wanted them to continue to move. We want to be saved our way, on our terms, not His. We want to be still, but even in escape, we must move. Even when we're getting to a place of safety, God wants us to listen to Him. God wants us to follow Him. And God wants us to go where we need to go. There is movement. There has got to be movement. Because what we're going to be talking about as I dig into this a little bit more is that water in these two situations, going through this water is representing really transition. So even when there's a transition going on in your life, you still have to do something. And one thing to remember, And of course, we know what happens here. God parts the waters. And we'll dig into it a little bit and touch on some more stuff later. The cloud moves behind the people. The cloud that and the fire pillar moves behind the people, stands in between the people and the Egyptian army. The wind blows, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the wind blows, and it dries the Red Sea. And there's a wall of water on both sides. And it just kind of moves apart, and they're able to cross on dry land. And, of course, we know that when they get across, God releases the water, and it destroys the Egyptian army. So one thing to remember, and I'll leave it on this note on this story, is escape is on the enemy's time frame. The enemy determines when we have to go. It is not our choice a lot of times. It's not the most ideal situation. God's still in control of the situation. Never forget that. But a lot of times the enemy determines when we need to go, when it's time to go. Oh, okay, this is getting bad. This situation is not good. We need to go. I'm in a place in my life right now that's just not healthy, and this has happened or that has happened. So because that has happened, I need to move on. All right, so that is the story. That's just a real quick running over the Exodus, crossing of the Red Sea. Let's jump over to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, basically the whole chapter, encompasses the crossing of the Jordan River. Now, obviously this is the next generation. Moses' generation dies in the desert. There's only two people in this generation that move forward, and that's Joshua and Caleb. And it's time now, after they've wandered in the desert, it's time to go take that promised land. So I'm going to read just a little bit in Joshua chapter 3, and then we'll dive in and just dissect a little bit of this. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out for Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing there. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are the Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it." It says, "Then you will know which way to go, because you have never been this way before." Let's stop right there. We just left, and we made the statement that when we're in retreat, we're at the hands of others. We're at the hands of the situation. We're not in control. What you're seeing right now is when we're crossing the Jordan, we go from retreat to advance. We go from escape to attack. That's what's happening. The children of Israel have totally changed their posture. Their posture is completely different now. Their posture is a place of advancement, attack, on the offense, not the defense. They're on the offense now. When you are on the attack, when you're on that side of it, you're not working on the enemy's timeline anymore. You're working on your own. You're working on the timeline, and you are in charge of it. And you have the opportunity to say when you attack, when you don't attack, when you move, when you don't move. And God has a lot more freedom when you're in that place, because you can sit and analyze the situation. Now, what's interesting is they're analyzing, and they're able to look. They're looking directly at the Jordan River for 3 days. And it says later on that the Jordan River is in flood stage. So they have 3 days to look at this. And I think they had 3 days to realize there's absolutely no human way for us to cross this. There's no human way for us to cross a large force of people across this thing to attack in a timely manner. There's no way. Now, we know that there's a way across. We know there's a human way across, because we find out before this, if you back up, that Joshua sent two spies. He sent two spies to Jericho already. Well, they had to get across somehow. So there's a way for two people to get across, but how are we going to get a whole army across? And so they had 3 days to look at that. They had 3 days to analyze that. They had 3 days to sit there and say, okay, there's no way but God. There's no way but God in this situation. So sometimes God will allow you to look at what's in front of you. And it's not to scare you. Don't be confused with something to scare you or to run you off with something that God's saying, I just want you to be real clear, and I want you to see real clear that what you're about to walk through, you're only walking through under my power, under my authority, under who I am. It's not by you, but it's by me. So he's not letting you look at the swollen Jordan River that's at flood stage to scare you off. He's looking at it so that when you're on the other side, you say, the only reason we're over here is because God did something awesome. So when you're on the advance, when you're on the attack, you make the timeline. Again, the Ark of the Covenant is God's presence. That is representing God's presence in this story. Just like the pillar of fire and the cloud and everything in the Moses story, God is still here. He's here in the representation of the Ark of the Covenant, which is an amazing study in of itself. So we work on down, and it says in verse 15 is where it says that the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So this body of water is just huge. It is just overflowing. It's out of its banks. It's even more scary than it normally would be trying to cross it. Let's pick up right there in verse 15. As soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam. While the water flowed down to the sea, which is the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea now, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So the water stopped upstream. It stopped upstream in a town called Adam. So that's basically that story in a nutshell. So let's compare those two. I want to just kind of go through and just do some comparisons of the two, and I pray that God speaks to you. He spoke to me, and it's taught me a few things. You had two bodies of water. You had two different reasons to cross that body of water. You have two men who were in both crossings. You had Joshua and Caleb. They crossed with Moses, and then they crossed again later. You can dig into those characters as well. In one crossing, the enemy was behind them. In the next crossing, the enemy was ahead of them. In one, you had peace ahead. In one, you had peace behind. So you had one that was a river. One was a sea. There's just these different contrasts. One thing that remains the same, as I feel like, is that the water represents transition. Water represents a new revelation. Water represents a new level. Water represents something's going to happen. We're going to move from here to there. We're not staying in the same place. We're not staying camped on this side of this body of water. For one reason or another, because it's not safe here, or because there's better things on the other side, or because we're called to do something else. But God is always pushing us and wanting us and needing us for our own good to be in transition. We'll kind of plateau out, but if you've plateaued out and you've stayed in camp too long, God wants you to move. He wants you to move. He wants us to continually move toward Him. So, and it's baptism. It's this baptism that they're walking through, and you could really look at this, and it's a great way when you're actually getting baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in different things. You can see, you know, this going into a new place. So it kind of represents baptism, and you could really tie a lot of that in with how this story plays out. Where are you at in this transition? That's one of the questions. That's kind of the big question out of this is, if you're in transition right now, are you on the attack? Are you escaping or retreating? And I don't know of a better way to put it, but are you moving to a safe place? Are you advancing? Are you on offense? Or are you on defense? That may be a little bit clearer way to look at. Are you on offense? Or are you on defense? Are you attacking? Are you retreating? Where are we at in our transition? does God always, and here's the miscalculation that we make sometimes, is because we feel like we should always, always, always be on the offense. We feel like we should always be attacking because we're good Christians and we're always going out there. We're always going to do things for God, these mighty things. We're always going to make this big difference, which God absolutely 100% wants us to do. But, and here's the question I have for you. Should the children of Israel have turned and attacked the Egyptian army when they were backed up to the Red Sea? Would that have been wise where they were at in their life? Where they were at, should they have attacked the Egyptian army? Is that what would have been smart for them to do? Would they have been showing God what kind of courage they had? Would they have been... There are times, guys, that it is okay. It is okay to let God swing around behind you. Let God put his pillar of fire in between you and what's going on and allow you to be on the defense, allow you to escape a situation, allow you to back out of a situation, allow you to back up and reassess the situation, allow you to get on the other side of the Red Sea where it's safe, where you can find out who you really are. You do not always have to be super Christian. You do not always have to be, you know, kicking down hell's door and casting out demons and you know, doing all these just powerful, powerful things that we want to do. Yes, does God want us to be powerful in Him? Absolutely, 100%. But don't think that you always, always have to be. Don't let the enemy tell you that if there's a time that you need to rest, if there's a time that you need to back off, if there's a time that you need to regroup, that doesn't mean you've lost the war. That means that you're strategically crossing the Red Sea, crossing into a place where there's safety and where you can find out who you are and you can find out more about who God is and God can tell you who you are. Because the children of Israel did not know who they were at this point. They had no idea what their identity was in God. So God needed to take them out of that situation and He needed to teach them something. He needed to fill them with who they were. And ultimately, they had a hard time accepting that, and it was difficult. And God said, okay, the next generation is going to do this. But it is okay for God to pull you out of the flames and pull you out of the front lines for a minute to teach you something, to show you something, to heal you, and to work on you. It is okay. So don't think that you've always got to be out there, you know, punching Satan in the nose, okay? It is okay. God's got this, and God will fight for you. He will absolutely 100% fight for you. But that doesn't mean that there's not movement involved. Okay, you still need to move. God doesn't always lead us to this short-term peace thing. Transition is usually not peaceful and painless. He's not always going to have us, you know, it's not always going to, there are going to be times that He does want us to advance. There are going to be times that He just wants us to go out, and it is going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. Things we're going to have to do. One thing that I would like you guys to look at, if God speaks to you on this, is the whole Joshua Caleb part of this story. To me, it's fascinating that these two were the original. They were the original two spies in the Exodus story, previous to, or that, you know, scouted out the land they belonged to, that came back with a good report. The other 10 didn't. So God allowed them to just, you know, press in on this new advance in Joshua. Obviously Joshua, and then you had Caleb as well. I want you to think about how they felt the second time they crossed it. This is not the first time they've seen this miracle. You got to think, everybody that's in the Joshua story, they didn't go. They're the only two that walk through. Everybody else, nobody else walked through the Red Sea. Joshua and Caleb walked through the Red Sea. How did they walk differently when they walked and crossed the Jordan? They'd already seen water parted and dry land appear. So this is the second time they'd walked through this. They had been there before. I think personally that obviously the people were looking to them like, you guys have got to give us guidance on this. Like, do we really walk through this? We know that y'all have been there before because we've heard the stories. We know what happened. We know how our people left Egypt. We know how it happened, but we haven't seen it. we haven't seen it. Sometimes you're going to be that Joshua and that Caleb, and you're going to be the ones that looked behind you and say, guys, I've been here before. God's going to be faithful in this. God's going to walk us through this. Trust me, the water's not going to come crashing down on us because I've already walked through this once, and I know my God, and I know how He operates. So sometimes you've got to be that Joshua and that Caleb. Sometimes you're that Israeli, young Israeli army guy that's like, okay, we're going to go take Jericho. I get it, but I'm scared. It's okay to look for a Joshua, and it's okay to look for a Caleb. You're not going to be that person every time. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. It's okay. Look to those people who have been there. Look to those brothers and sisters in Christ that have walked through what you're walking through already. Seek them out. You know, if you're struggling with something, if something's come in your life that's just, you know, just bombarding you and you don't know how to deal with it, God has put somebody in your life that has walked through it already. You just got to look for them. Sometimes we don't want to look for them. We're embarrassed. I promise you, Joshua and Caleb, they walked through it the second time different than they walked through it the first time. So they knew how the people were feeling. People will look at you as an example. So I think those are some really, really good things. As I was just kind of finishing this up, I kept feeling like there was something to the city of Adam. It just kept jumping out at me, and I just really prayed to God, to the Lord, like, what are you wanting to show me in this? And I think this is an important part of this this study for me, because I got to thinking about it. It says the water parted a little bit different with the river. The Jordan River is a moving body of water. So the Red Sea is a fixed body of water. So there was a wall of water on each side. The way that the wind blew and dried it up, and it was, you know, it's that classic, you know, the Charlton Heston Moses movie, you know, where you just see the water on both sides. That was the scene. Crossing the Jordan was different. Crossing the Jordan is described differently. It's a river. It's a river that really literally runs from the Sea of Galilee all the way down into the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. You know, the Dead Sea, it doesn't have an outlet. It's where you can go float. You know, it's like super, super salty and everything. That's where it floats. And I think there's some good stuff into things flowing into something's dead, a river of life that's flowing into something's dead. And I think there's some stuff you can really dig in and see what God's saying there. But that's not where I'm going. I want to go back to the city of Adam, because it says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 16, it says, the water from upstream stopped flowing, and it piled up in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam. So this town called Adam, which is north of Jericho, it's north of where it's kind of in between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. If you look at it where they think Adam was, it's kind of in between the two. And if you're in Adam, if you're in this town already, the Jordan River is already at flood stage. So it is out of its banks. It is flooding. It's doing its thing, which you're kind of prepared for. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the water stops flowing downriver and it starts piling up. That means to me, the way I interpret that is it starts flooding Adam. It starts flooding things and covering things up and changing things in Adam that were not normally being changed. It made Adam look completely different. And I felt like God was trying to show me something about Adam. And I feel like what he said was, your transition may disrupt others, but God will put them back in place in his time. We cannot stay, guys, we can't stay on this side of the Jordan. I can't stay where I'm at. I can't stay here and not move to deeper things with God, not move closer to God, not pursue Him in a deeper way, not do the things that I hear Him telling me to do, whether it's you know, in my personal prayer life, my worship life, my you know, whatever ministry God's put you in, your job, to how you treat others, to I just whatever it is, whatever that place of transition is, you cannot use the excuse that I don't want to do anything because I don't want to flood Adam. I don't want to make somebody else's life different. You see, you're afraid to do something because if I walk through this transition, then I will come out the other side a different person and I may affect so-and-so. What if I follow God? What if this happens? What if so-and-so is affected this way or that way? My breakthrough will absolutely cause others disruption. If it is a true breakthrough, it is going to cause disruptions. It may be a family member. It may be somebody you work with. It may be a group of people. Maybe something that you're even in charge of and you're the leader of it, and God's called you to do something else or to move to a different place, and it just calls you. Feel like it's going to go, oh, I can't do that. I can't pursue God in this way because it's going to have this just tidal wave effect and it's going to disrupt so many people. So we're worried about this city that's north. We're worried about what's going to happen to Adam. We can sit here and say, well, God, I want to cross over. And God, I want to go take Jericho. And God, I know that you've got to stop this river from flowing. And I know that that's what you want. I know all these things because I know that's my destiny on the other side. I know my destiny is to take Jericho. And I know that this is how you're going to get me there. But God, I just don't want to flood Adam. I don't want to inconvenience those people in Adam. I don't want to flood their crops in Adam. I don't want to do these things in Adam. And I blame my stagnation on my care for others. And that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Because yes, we care about other people. And yes, we're not in it to disrupt people's lives. But at the end of the day, God has something for you. If you know that that is what God has for you, then you have got to do it. And let God deal with Adam. Let God say, you know what? I know Adam's going to flood. I know that this person is going to be affected by how you change and how you pursue me. You know, I know that that spouse or that friend may kind of be like, well, you know, you're just different now. You're just on fire for God and you're just so excited about Him and you talk different, you sound different. You know, I just don't know. It's messing our relationship up or whatever it may be. You let God deal with that. And you keep your focus. Your focus is Jericho. Your focus is destiny. Your focus is my transition. My focus is what God has called me to do, where God has called me to go, how God has called me to get there. That is your focus. You keep your eyes on what God wants you to keep your eyes on. You don't look to the water piling up in Adam. You don't look to the water when you're crossing the Red Sea piling up on both sides of you. We have to have clear focus and look and see. So I just felt like God was just showing me sometimes I don't want to do things because I don't want to disrupt other things that are out of my control. It was totally out of their control what happened to Adam. So that being said, so the question I feel God, and I'll wrap this up, is asking me is what transition are we in? Are we escaping? Are we advancing? Both have their time and place. It's so easy to beat ourselves up if we feel like we're retreating. Yes, if we are always escaping a situation, we need to reevaluate what's going on. We don't always need to be escaping. That's not healthy. God wants us to rest in Him and let us fight. Let Him fight for us sometimes. But God also wants us advancing and walking in new levels with Him, with new purpose. Both are a transition to a better place with Him. As long as He is in it, as long as He is in the midst. Remember, the pillar of fire was there in the sea, in the Red Sea crossing, and the Ark of the Covenant was there, and God's presence was there when they were advancing. He was there when they were retreating. He was there when they were advancing. But each time they were in His will, they were doing what He wanted Him to do. If you find yourself in transition without God, stop immediately. Stop immediately. Find Him and let Him lead you. And saying all that, God is so good, and He wants the best for us, guys. He wants the best for us in each situation, and He knows better than us if I need to retreat, if I need to advance. Just be in that place and strive to be in that place where you hear God, and you see that pillar of fire moving, and you see that Ark of the Covenant moving, and you see His presence in this situation, and you feel Him telling you to do this. If you're in the midst of Him, No matter what kind of transition it is, whether you're going through the Red Sea or whether you're crossing the Jordan, wherever it may be, whether you're escaping some Egyptians or whether you're about to go take Jericho, as long as you're in the midst of Him, He's going to have you. All right? So that's what I had, guys. I'm just going to say a quick prayer for everybody. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much, God, for Your love. We thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for so many things that we can glean from the stories that are here, Heavenly Father, these truths that are in Your word, God. Thank You so much for that, God. I pray for each and every person that's listening to this right now. God, I pray that You show them where they're at in transition. God, I pray that You show them what You want them to see, where You want them to go. God, I pray that You give them clear vision, Heavenly Father. I pray that You give them the courage to do what You've called them to do. Sometimes it takes courage to retreat, and sometimes it takes courage to advance. Either way, God, I pray that You fill them with Your Holy Spirit, God. I pray that You're with everyone who's dealing with this crazy situation that we're in right now with this virus, God. I know that You're in charge. I know that You're in control, God. I pray that You give us as Christians the peace to walk through that and to lead others to You and show the world who's really in control. God, we love You so much. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.